Welcome to the niche.
Hi.
We've got a fun topic for today, and it's one that's near and dear to our hearts.
It's one that we talk about all the fucking time.
And we'd like to introduce you all to the dossier.
Mm.
And there's a bit of required reading or watching. I guess.
Mm.
And so there'll be a link in the notes for this episode, a little web episode. I watched it again today and it's only got like a couple hundred views or something. It's very underviewed, this video.
At least like 100 of them are mine.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of thousand. It only had 100 likes.
Maybe,
and I'm like,
they criminally reposted it. Because I noticed the other day when I was watching it, it seemed to end really abruptly. And I was like, did it always end like that?
Mm.
I don't know.
So it's a short film called The Female Gaze by Stephen Haas. And it gets to the heart of a a problem for men, which is that men
have a lot of problems, I've noticed.
The list goes on and on. the one we're focusing on today is that men have no idea what the female gaze is. We just don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we actually can't understand it. We just fundamentally
can't or fundamentally won't listen to women and therefore refuse to understand.
Well, I feel like we listen, but it comes off as an arbitrary list of unconnected characteristics and features that we don't understand. And we try to like draw these connections between them, but they just aren't to be found. And this short film really kind of captures the essence of that.
It's very much the board with the red string kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why you don't understand it because we've talked about it now at length. I've been very open with you. And the central humor of this particular short film is that basically the women are keeping it all secret.
Yes.
And he stumbles upon the dossier of information about the female gaze and what it is. And then the women are after him because they need it back because he can't possibly know because he'll become too sexually powerful if he knows what women want. And we've talked about it a lot and I've told you everything and I haven't killed you yet.
Mm.
And yet you haven't connected the dots somehow. I don't understand. Like, what's the gap there?
I'm getting I'm getting the pieces of the puzzle, but I can't zoom out and see the picture. That's the problem. Like, I just have all these pieces and they just won't connect. So we've actually started our very own dossier on our little notes app. So there's a few references there of things that are female gaze.
Mm.
So maybe let's talk about a few of them. And we invite our listeners as well to comment on these people and features and explain to me. Please tell me why you like them.
He won't listen to me. I just want to say as a bit of a disclaimer as well, like when we say female gaze, I don't mean to speak for all women. Mm. And we're talking binary shit here with female gaze and male gaze. And I don't mean to make anyone feel excluded or whatever. Mm. We're full blown talking about cliches right now.
Yeah.
So if you fall outside the cliche, good for you. You have an original thought in your brain. As for me, we know I'm a basic bitch, so I very much fall into cliches. Territory. Mm. So, yeah, I think I speak for all the basic bitches is what I'm going to say.
Yes. We are all individuals. That's true.
Mm,
do you think you understand the male gaze? Like, do you think
yes.
Okay.
I don't think the male gaze is that complicated. And again, I think it's important to remember that all men aren't the same.
Yeah.
It's not like every man has the exact same taste in physical appearance by any means.
Mm.
But I think if we're talking basic bitch stuff, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I wonder if it's similar in that way because I feel like there's like the regret. It's not regression to the mean. That's a different concept. But there is like this mean view that gets put forward as like that's what it is. Like that's the beauty standard or the expectation standard.
Of like the time in society.
Yeah. And going back to my highly robust 5% theory in the first niche episode, I feel like it's the 5% theory, but whichever 5% happens to be in the public consciousness at the same time, that's what gets featured as being the thing, which is kind of frustrating because like that's not always the thing.
Mm.
And, you know, there are lots of women who are like, oh, you need to look like this and have that. But again, that's probably like 5% of people care about that or 5% of people prefer that, but that somehow rises to the top and becomes the norm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's a fundamental misunderstanding there too, where you think that women are trying to impress men there. And I suggest that many women, when they're trying to attain a certain beauty standard, are actually trying to impress each other.
No, I agree with that.
But yeah, like certainly over time, tastes change and what have you, and all men are different and all of that sort of stuff. But if we're talking big cliches, then I think they're pretty standard across time. And, you know, we've got pick me women who can, who can play into those as well and manipulate them for their own benefit. Mm. Here's the thing. You use some really mathematical language there, median and mean, and I forget what they mean. I forget which is which and whatever. But, like, crucially, when we're opening the dossier on the female gaze, maths is not – this is girl math, all right, in here. This is not medians and means, all right? It's emotion.
Mm.
It's coming from the heart, okay? Mm. You're dealing in the wrong chakra here.
Yeah. Maybe that's what's so confusing. We're just operating on a different, like, paradigm.
Okay, now we're using big words as well. So what do you want to know? I feel at this point, I feel like I'm just repeating myself. Mm. But for the benefit of others listening, what is it that you, as a basic man, want to know about basic women?
Well, I mean, as returning to this female gaze video, he starts off like working out. You know, what he's been told or what he's expecting is that women love big muscles, but then he's finding out that that's not it. Like, that's not the thing. And he's searching for, like, what is the thing? Mm. And, you know, he's got it all up on the board, right, with the dots being connected. There's the Darcy hand flex and they're trying to understand that. And there's all these other random things that women talk about in public, like, as being the thing that they're attracted to, and just trying to understand why. Why that thing? Because they're very different things to what men might call out as the male gaze.
I mean, I guess what's also hilarious about that video is how they respond to the question of the hand flex and how they think that through, and they're nearly there. They nearly get it.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's about why he's flexing his hand. No, it can't be that. Of course it's that. Of course it's why he's flexing his hand. Mm. That's the whole Darcy thing, right? Just the repression of this, like, almost uncontrollable desire that he's just barely able to contain within himself. And, you know, what woman doesn't want to have that effect?
Mm.
So that's the Darcy hand flex. I also have to just say, I'm not a Darcy stan personally. Okay. So as basic as I am, that's one area where I'm not in the median mean.
Yes. You're a pick me.
I'm a pick me. No, I don't. No, I'm a don't pick me, Darcy. Yes. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's that hand flex thing, because I went down that rabbit hole and I, like, watched that scene and I'd missed the hand flex. It's like half a second of hand flex that I would never have noticed, and I'm so surprised that it's become such a thing. It's like not even a feature. It's just like a quick cut and then back to the scene, which is funny. Like, how many things like that
you just don't clock at all.
Exactly. Yeah. It's completely off the radar.
Yeah.
So the Darcy hand flex is the low-hanging fruit, maybe, of female gaze.
But do you get it? Like, you're asking me to explain.
I get it intellectually, maybe.
But there's no female, like, there's no male gaze equivalent of that.
I guess what's interesting about that is it's not necessarily a characteristic that Mr. Darcy has. Like, it's not about him. It's about the reflection back onto the woman who is the object of his desire.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it absolutely is about him, though, because it's about who he is as a character, which is the whole Pride and Prejudice thing. Like, he's very inward with his feelings and doesn't express them. And that's the whole issue in that novel.
Mm.
And so for him to kind of, like, betray that in a moment and to kind of show that he is just barely in control kind of thing, and that he has all these feelings and he doesn't know what to do with them.
Mm.
And I guess that's what makes Darcy appealing. But you're right. Like, there's an element of that that's just like, okay, but he's appealing because he's into her.
Mm.
But what's wrong with that? Are we all supposed to just love the fuckboys who dump? Like, what's the preferred option?
I don't think I said that.
I'm paraphrasing. Women get criticized for always only liking the bad boys or whatever. Mm. And now it's like, well, this guy's into her and that's what's appealing about it. Like, oh, no, you're not allowed to like that.
No, I guess where I'm coming from is it provides no actionable information. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this? It's all of the, like, if you talk male gaze, like, you can get an idea of
what you need to do
to live up to the male gaze, but you're like, you just can't look in the female gaze. Like, do I? All right, so I've got to flex my hand sometimes. I've got to, what else? Like, there's a few more characters.
You've got to occasionally, like, wear a billowing white shirt that you just get completely soaking wet.
That's right.
And then you're set. And then you're fine. Don't worry about the muscles.
Yeah, it's all just, it's all these completely unconnected things you just can't get a picture out of. Let's explore a few more items on the dossier. We won't do the whole thing. It's quite long and we are always adding to this dossier. So, I've talked about the hand flex from the 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. Mm. Another one, Tom Holland wearing fishnets and dancing with an umbrella on SNL. This one is near and dear to you,
it
I believe.
It really is. Random. Oh, that's... I'm interested to know who listening, like, also returns to that when they just need a bit of joy in their lives. Okay. Like, if we're talking views on YouTube, I think that's got more than a couple of hundred views, that one.
Yes. It's a couple of hundred return views per person, maybe.
Per week. Mm. I think what's interesting about that is how unexpectedly hot that is. Like, it's not something that you could predict and go, oh, yeah, that's going to really appeal to people en masse. But it does. And I think that's fascinating.
Can you explain it? So, for anyone listening who is uninitiated, we'll put a link in the description as well. But he's basically dancing around in, fishnet stockings, some very short shorts with little white frills around them, and kind of a see-through mesh top of some description. I don't know if it's mesh or if it's kind of just really tight and wet.
It's definitely very tight.
Mm. And he's got some little things around, bracelet things around his wrists as well.
Does he? I didn't know. I wasn't looking at that. And he's got a wig, right?
Yeah, a wig or a hairdo. I don't know.
I'm just looking it up now, if you don't mind me, like, racking up another view. Mm. Oh, it's definitely a wig. Good grief. Okay. He's got, like, a scrunchie around his head. I never noticed that in my entire life.
And so, here's the thing. You didn't notice his hands.
No, I didn't notice this instance. His hands. Yeah, true.
So,
I
mean, do you care about hands or don't you care about hands?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm not a Darcy fan, so I don't care about the hand necessarily. But, look, I'm not sure I can fully explain it without, like, getting really deep into, like, my own psychological shit that I don't want to deal with.
Why people sign up for the niche. Get into it.
No, I'm trying to understand. Like, it is unexpected. Like, I can tell you a bunch of stuff that's hot about it, but I'm not sure that fully explains why that in particular is so hot. So, he's very physically fit is one thing, right? He is incredibly talented at dancing and he gets to show that off in a way that is very physical and masculine, despite what he's wearing. Yeah. So there's that, right? So just a physical specimen. Mm. Great, tick. But the other big factor is, like, the humor of it. The fact that he can take the piss out of himself like that and just put himself out there and just have the confidence to do something ridiculous with a straight face and take it so seriously.
Yeah.
There's, like, something really, I don't know, like, the confidence that would take is very appealing as well. And I think crucially, like, Zendaya is there as well. And so this, I don't know if they were together at this point or if this was before they got together, but they've just done their lip sync battle and she's done hers or whatever. I don't think I've ever watched hers, so I don't know what order it went in or whatever. But, like, her reaction to him is also hot because she, like, is laughing her ass off and just kind of, like, shocked at how impressed she is, I think, by his performance. And so her reaction in that moment is kind of the reaction that I think most women, again, I can't speak for all women, but many women have that same reaction, like, holy shit. Like, I didn't know he could do that either. Yeah. Like, he'd always presented it as this almost timid kind of very British shy guy almost. And so to come out and just pull that out of the hat is also very surprising and very cool.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. But ultimately, I think it comes down to the fact of how surprisingly talented he is and how unexpectedly, like, funny and entertaining it is at the same time. Does that answer your question?
It answers it to some extent, but then it's still like...
Yeah, like, I don't know whether... Because I think what's shocking is people see that and they're like, oh, so you're into men in fishnets. Yeah. Is that the thing? Like, you want a man who's going to dress like a woman, Rocky Horror Picture Show style or whatever. I don't know. Is that part of it? Because that's not the part that I think I personally respond to, except to the degree that he has the confidence to dress like that and dance like that. He doesn't sort of make a joke of it. You know what I mean? He takes it very seriously. And so rather than like, let's give the opposite end of the spectrum of like fucking Little Britain or the footy show, famously here in Australia, of men dressing as women and it's all a big joke and like we're just going to basically rip shit into all the cliches about women. And he's gone, I'm going to dress actually like a really hot, powerful woman and like go nuts and impress as I'm dressed like her, not like make fun of her, not belittle her, not sort of... Fucking hell, the birds agree. You know, so maybe there's an element of that too, that it's a kind of respectful in a way, like to go so hard on it and to not take the cheap shot of like, ha ha, I'm dressed like a woman and that's the humor. It's like, no, like you kind of forget about it. He's just going ham, if you will. I don't know. Maybe that's, I'm getting deeper in. Yeah, I've gone down a level.
Interesting.
I haven't actually thought that before. That's a new thought that's emerged here. So
a new level of analysis for yourself. I think, I wonder if there is an element of 5% convergence here, because I think it's kind of a performance that has so many things wrapped up into it that it might actually appeal to different women on
different reasons.
Yeah. For different reasons. Maybe. And like you all just kind of come together, so to speak, into this one performance, but it's actually different things for different people, you know, maybe with some overlap. I don't know.
Well, I'll be interested to hear if people sort of agree. Like I said, I have thought about it. Why is that hot? Because it's strange, but I don't really know. I just know that it is. I don't know that there is a huge amount of difference in what people find appealing about that, to be honest. Like, certainly there would be people who are like, I like that he's dressed like a woman and that is sexy to me, just that, right? But I don't think that's, if we're talking basic bitch stuff, I don't think that's what the vast majority are seeing.
Yeah.
I think they're seeing the impressive, powerful performance that was like a surprise.
Yeah.
And okay, maybe it is like the birds, right? You know, like the mating dance of the birds. Yeah. Like I'm going to impress you and I'm going to stand out completely differently to everyone around me, but I'm going to impress you with my skills and what I have to offer kind of thing. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just the ultimate peacocking move.
Yeah, and that's funny because the Mr. Darcy hand flex is like the total opposite thing. It's the most understated non-event.
I mean, that's a fair point. But like it's also, you know, attraction is complex. It's not like all one thing all the time. And I probably would say that those two things would appeal to different women to a different degree. Like I'm very much on the Tom Holland umbrella end of the spectrum and there would be women who are on the Darcy hand flex end of the spectrum, but I still get it.
Fascinating. Well, let's do maybe one more because, as I said, the dossier is deep and complex.
I'm happy to help, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a process because it's going to take a while.
I mean, we have been through all of this before, so...
I don't know if we've talked about this one in any detail, but this one is the cartoon fox from the 1973 version of Robin Hood. Mm. I'm not even sure what character that fox is.
Are you for real?
I don't know if I've seen this.
Have a guess.
Is it Robin Hood?
Yes. Okay.
All right. So this fox is wearing a green tunic. And a little
and
yellow
no pants.
Hat. No pants. Large bushy tail. And he's wielding an arrow. So what is it about this fox?
Listen, I think you need to watch this movie with your children.
Okay.
Because they're at the perfect age to just like get completely destroyed by this film.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about the cartoon fox? The charisma. There is. And, you know, Robin Hood is also like fundamentally a hot character.
Okay.
You know, robbing from the rich to give to the poor. Like that. That level of commitment to the cause is appealing. So there's that.
He's fighting the patriarchy.
He's fighting the patriarchy. Like, actually, oh, God, you just unlocked something there. Maybe that's what it is. Fuck that Sheriff of Nottingham, seriously. And King John. Yeah. So Robin Hood already. Hot. And we have, and it's like vampires, right?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Vampires are kind of famously hot.
Yeah.
Most of the time, not always, but like that's a thing.
Yeah.
Robin Hood is also just mostly hot all the time.
Okay, well, what's the connection with vampires?
No, I'm just saying it like as a concept. Like if we forget the fox, if we just leave the fox out of it for a minute and the cartoon factor out of it for a minute, there's that. The character is already an appealing kind of archetypal character. As for the cartoon fox part, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it's the facial expressions, the kind of sly, I don't know, flirty? Like, is that weird to say about a cartoon fox? And the way he's, like, his body language. It's a cartoon, but it's, like, body language. And he is, to be fair, a humanoid kind of fox. He's not a fox. Yes. He's very much, like, mostly human characteristics.
He's human where it matters.
His heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Yeah, I think it's just the body language, the facial expressions, and the riz. That's it. And I'm sure that fox has launched a million furries. I'm not myself a furry.
I don't know if it's a furry thing. Like, I get it. He's a fox. But it does sound like all of the monster porn kind of thing, where it's not really about the fact that they're a monster or, you know, or that he's a fox. That's not the thing.
No.
It's just the other characteristics that come through in that character. You know, maybe women have an ability to be attracted to those qualities in isolation, like regardless of what you're talking about, a human or a non-human or
the whole package. It's just part of the package.
Yeah, just, you know, you can isolate that and be like, oh, I find that element attractive, but I'm not going to have sex with a fox.
I'm going to draw a boundary at having sex with a fox.
Mm.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, speaking for myself, I certainly can. Like, it's the personality traits that are appealing or the behaviors that are appealing or the way that they interact over and above, like, what they look like. I mean, again, that fox has, like, you know, if you were to just turn that into a Disney man, it wouldn't be that hard to do that. You just sort of change the head and, like, the skin, and you've got a Disney, and maybe put some pants on him, maybe. And then you've got a Disney prince pants kind optional. Of thing. Yeah, pants optional. He's not so differently drawn than the other sort of prince characters as well. So it is like the face and the way he stands and all of that stuff as well.
I mean, now that you bring that up, I hear from my my sources within the dossier that
oh shit,
that the Beast from Beauty and the Beast is famously unattractive when he turns into a prince.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is it that he doesn't have? I mean, he does have pants, so that might be a problem.
The reason I went silent is because I was trying to remember something, and as you know, that's impossible. So then I just got lost in the annals of my brain and couldn't come back. The Beast thing is also a little bit fraught because there's this whole, he's captured her.
Oh, yeah, there's some coercion happening.
Just a little, and massive Stockholm syndrome and stuff like that. So there's a lot of problematic shit in Beauty and the Beast that goes on. And, like, if you try and leave me, like, I'll kill your dad or whatever the bargain is. I can't even remember.
But so he's nice down.
He's deep down. And, I mean, there is an element of, like, women wanting to change men and just unlocking what hurt you, Beast, kind of thing. Yeah. And I'll heal you and then you'll be okay again kind of thing. So I think there's definitely that kind of savior mentality that goes on. But again, it's the riz. Like, when the Beast is towards the end, when he's much nicer and he is coming out of his like emotional void or whatever that he's been in, then he is appealing, you know, and he's treating her like a princess and he's being kind, but he's also very possessive.
Yeah.
So that comes through. And that's back to the Darcy thing, this kind of like unable to control my feelings for you kind of thing that is appealing to women because they're just so powerful because you're powerful, I don't know, and you have this effect. So there's that. But he's just badly drawn is part of it.
Yeah.
The human Beast is not classically handsome in the way that some of the other Disney princes are. Mm. I mean, again, we go back to like basic bitch female gaze or whatever, but the things that you would expect in a Disney prince and his facial expression, and he's very pale and kind of, it's almost like when that happens, it's like a horror scene. It's not a romantic scene.
Yeah.
It's this horrible transformation has occurred.
Yeah.
So there's all of that going on as well.
Yeah, he strikes me as, and this is, you know, I can't speak for female gays, but he strikes me as someone who doesn't They should have drawn him more representative of, like, the Beast character. This is the thing. He's very different. Like, yeah. He's a different guy.
He's the opposite. He's this pasty, pale, blonde-haired kind of character and almost sickly looking, you know, when in that moment when he's in the rain and whatever, versus the Beast who has this presence and, like, power to him. Again, you could find both of those things very attractive. Like, say, for example, a really big, burly, hairy man versus a more effeminate kind of long-haired kind of man or what have you. Those are kind of very different looks that women could find attractive. To have them both in the same person is odd, I guess. Maybe it's that break of character that was also jarring for people. It's like, hang on, that's not him anymore. And so this character that we've been connecting to has disappeared basically, and now you're giving me this guy? Like, who's this guy?
Yeah, he pretty much should have looked the same, but just a bit less.
Yeah, like less, like, I don't know, like Princess Fiona in Shrek. She's still herself when she's the Shrek version of herself. Maybe a reversal of that is kind of what was needed to remain connected. I don't know.
Mm.
I bet there's a shit ton of fan art out there that's the Beast as he should have been.
Yeah, minus the pants.
I won't Google that. My search history is already destroyed.
With Tom Holland pictures, no doubt.
That's not destroyed. That's enhanced.
All right, well, we haven't gotten to the bottom of it. I've learned today hand is attractive, but sometimes you won't even notice it. And dancing is nice. Fishnets are good, but it's not about the fishnets. Sexy fox is great. Possessive, problematic beast is great, but normal prince is not great.
See, you're getting it. So you're starting to understand. This is great.
But we will have plenty more dossier to explore in future episodes, but I'm really keen for our listeners to provide some input into this, especially our female listeners.
Do you just think I'm bullshitting you? You don't trust me.
No, I'd like to hear, because I'm getting your side of the story. I'd like to hear other people chime in on what we've spoken about so far in terms of the dossier, and also, would you like to add to the dossier? Who would you nominate as an entry into the dossier?
Who or what? And if you're one of our non-female listeners, I'd be fascinated to know if you understand, or if Ed really is thick as two short planks and just
it's a possibility.
Yeah, where are you at in your female gaze journey? Do you empathize with Ed's sense of mystery over the whole thing?
Have you compiled your own dossier with the answers? If so, email it to me. I'd really appreciate that.
So if you feel like it, please send us a voicemail, because we'd love to hear from you. And next time we talk about it, we might just chuck some of the voicemails on and see what everyone else has to add.
Absolutely. But thank you for joining us in The Niche,
where pants are always optional.